Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 3. And we've been looking at verse number 8, which says, "For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord." And we left off last time looking at the issue of what the Apostle Paul means by the idea of stand fast. And we started looking at the issue of how the Apostle Paul has to give that warning to the members of the body of Christ because of the different things that were going on in his time and what we see happening today of how people turn away from the things of the Word of God rightly divided. You know, and there are so many different things in the world today that really try to pull people away from the truth of what God's Word actually says. You know, we look at the situation we are in today. You know, where I live, we are actually in, you know, according to our governor, we were in day 63 of, you know, all these things going on related to the COVID-19 situation. You know, we actually have no date that has actually been given to us related to when any of the restrictions are going to be lifted in New York State, and how an individual could start focusing so much on those type of things and allow it to pull themselves away from the truth of God's Word, from the comfort that comes from reading and studying the Word of God, rightly divided. Pulling people away from the truth of the gospel message for today, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and how a person puts their trust in that and that alone is what gives them salvation today. This is the information that people were being pulled away from during the Apostle Paul's time. This is the information that we as the members of the body of Christ are being pulled away from tonight. And you can just think about it from this standpoint. If you, you know, think about where it is that you live and think about how many in groups that would identify themselves as a church, how many of them are actually teaching this gospel message as what gives someone salvation today. And the reality of it is that the vast majority, when I say the vast majority, I'm talking about, you know, 90% plus, are going to be teaching something else that doesn't line up with the gospel that was given to the Apostle Paul for us today. And that's why he had to encourage individuals to stand fast. And you see this throughout his epistles. We're going to pick up looking at some of the things where he's talking about this. Let's go over to the book of Philippians. We're going to chapter number 4 first in the book of Philippians. And we're going to look at how Paul is closing this epistle first. And then we're going to go back to chapter number 1 and look at, you know, something that he says in the beginning of this epistle to this assembly. And you see how he really ends up kind of bookending this epistle with this idea. And here in Philippians chapter number 4, let's read here verse number 1. It says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." And here he is closing this epistle. In an epistle where you see, when you read through it and study through this book, you see how there's a lot of different things that he's writing to encourage the believers here. And a big part of this encouragement goes along with the issue of standing fast in the Lord, standing true to the message that's been given to us as the members of the body of Christ today. Let's go back now to chapter number 1. And we're going to see here as Paul was beginning this epistle, and he goes through a whole discussion about, you know, whether it was good for him to be, you know, leave this world and go to heaven, or was it better for him to remain. You see here, let's go down to verse number 27 of Philippians chapter number 1, where it says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." And when individuals are standing fast in the truth, and they're functioning in that one spirit, the end result of it is going to be that the individuals who are standing for the truth are going to be able to strive together. You know, this is why you see how Paul will talk about the things that are to unify the body of Christ. You know, how we're called into this position to be standing for the truth, so that way we can function in this manner to where we're behaving properly according to what the Word of God actually says, and how individuals get pulled away so easily from the truth of what it is that the Apostle Paul is saying here about what unifies the members of the body of Christ. And what unifies the members of the body of Christ, let's go over to the book of Ephesians, and we'll go to chapter number 4 here in the book of Ephesians. And this information here, this is what is to unify the members of the body of Christ. We'll read here verses 4, 5, and 6 of Ephesians chapter number 4. It says, "There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." These seven things that the Apostle Paul lists here, the one body, the one spirit, the one hope, the one Lord, the one faith, the one baptism, and the one God and Father of all, these are the things that are to be unifying us. These are the things that we're to be standing fast in, so that way we can be able to strive together, functioning properly as the members of the body of Christ. The problem we have is, instead of functioning according to what the Word of God actually says, we decide to function not by walking in the Spirit, but we give into the lust of the flesh and create divisions amongst ourselves that the Word of God says are not to be divisions to break up the unity that we are to have. You know, individuals will, you know, almost go out of their way to try to find something that's going to create, instead of the unity, creating a fight among the members of the body of Christ, trying to pull them away from each other so they no longer can be able to stand fast in a manner of where they're going to be able to strive together. You know, and I'm just going to give one example of something of this. You know, and we could spend, you know, weeks going through many different examples of what individuals try to do to pull people away. And pulling people away in a manner of, you know, it's not, what I'm going to say has nothing to do with any of the things that we are identifying here in verses 4, 5, and 6 of Ephesians chapter number 4. And the example is looking at the idea of Luke chapter number 16 and looking at the issue of the rich man and Lazarus and having a discussion about whether what is recorded there in Luke chapter number 16, starting in verse 19, going down through verse 31, whether that's a parable or whether that's a doctrinal issue that's being taught. And that individuals dividing themselves from each other because of the fact that they're teaching the opposite of what they feel that this is. Now, the first thing is Luke chapter number 16 is doctrinal information for the nation of Israel and is not written directly to the members of the body of Christ. So there's no possible reason why individuals should be trying to divide themselves over a book that's not written to us. It's not Romans through Philemon. It has no impact on the issue of that unity that we are to be standing fast in. And those type of things do more harm than good to the members of the body of Christ. It does more harm than good to individuals looking at us, and when they see the body of Christ, rather than seeing the unity, what they see from us is that we have this tendency to fight amongst ourselves and fight amongst ourselves in a manner to where, you know, it becomes very ugly, where individuals are screaming at each other over things and then saying, we can't have anything to do with them. And if you want to have anything to do with them, then you know what? I want nothing to do with you. You know, and those are the things that create havoc. They create problems. And they turn the body of Christ really into a laughing stock of things. You know, one other very quick example of thing. You know, we had, you know, the other pastor of Grace Family Bible Church a couple years ago was actually disinvited to a speaking engagement at a conference. You know, and the reason why he was disinvited was because there was a link to a website on our website that they didn't agree with that person, even though if you went through their website, you would see that they agreed on probably 95 to 98% of what this individual was teaching. But because they had a problem with this individual, they decided that he couldn't come to speak at that conference, even though they had been advertising that he was going to be there. And just a couple weeks prior to that conference happening, decided that, nope, sorry, you can't come. You can't come edify the other members of the body of Christ. Now, think about what would have happened if the Apostle Paul would have decided that the various assemblies that he was writing to, that because he disagreed with them on something, that he was cutting them off. You know, for example, we wouldn't have an epistle to the, you know, Galatia, because he wrote an entire epistle to a group who was trying to put themselves back under the law. And rather than cutting them off, he's giving them some doctrinal information to try to pull them back so that way they can be able to stand fast in the truth of what God's word says. And the only place that you can actually stand fast in is what the Apostle Paul actually says in the next thing, when he says, if ye stand fast in the Lord. It's only in God that we can actually have that ability to stand fast. That's why you see the Apostle Paul write things like this. Let's go over to the book of You know, Galatians. We're going to go to Galatians chapter number 6. You know, the epistle that I was just talking about, that if Paul had cut individuals off, that he wouldn't have written this book. But here in Galatians chapter number 6, we see where Paul identifies that there's only one place that there can be any sort of glory. When he says here in Galatians chapter 6 verse 14, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." The only thing that the Apostle Paul says that he could actually glory in is the cross. And he can glory in the cross because of what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross at Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ took care of the issue of sin. The law was nailed to the cross with him. And when the law was nailed there with him, it was taken out of the way for us. And by it being taken out of the way for us, the whole issue is that it is impossible for a member of the body of Christ to commit a sin that's identified as the transgression of the law, which would result in the second death, that eternal separation from God. That's why in Romans chapter number 3, the Apostle Paul talks about the sins that are past, because that whole issue of sin has been completely taken care of. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, the Apostle Paul identifies, and I'm actually going to turn there very quickly to read that verse of what he says about this in verse 57 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when he says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And it's a victory over death, over the grave. And since the sting of death is sin and the strength of sin is the law, we have a victory because the Lord Jesus Christ took care of all those things. He took care of it. He took the issue of sin upon him so that way we could receive his righteousness. When God the Father looks at us, he sees the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he sees that righteousness because we've put our trust in the gospel message for today. And when we put our trust in that gospel message, one of the things that we receive immediately is the issue of forgiveness. We are forgiven. We are seen as the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we are standing fast in. We are standing fast. We're holding on to the truth of what he accomplished for us. A truth that we only find in Romans through Philemon. That's why Paul identifies these things and calls it my gospel. That's why Paul identifies when he says, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And we're going to see Paul say something here that is, you know, almost truly amazing. You know, and it's amazing because, one, it's the truth, but it's something that nobody else could ever have possibly said when you read through the scriptures. And we're going to read here chapter 11, verse 1. "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." The Apostle Paul followed the Lord Jesus Christ by grace through faith. We, as the members of the body of Christ, need to be following him in that exact same manner. He is identified over in the book of Ephesians as being the head of us. You know, he is our head. And
you know, because he is our head, he's laid out that pattern for us. The Apostle Paul functions, you know, by following the Lord Jesus Christ. He becomes that pattern for us. So that's when he talks about the fact that, you know, he's become a pattern, as he identifies in the book of Timothy. Yet that pattern, it has nothing to do with how the Apostle Paul was saved. Because if it was, then we would all have to be waiting to see the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven's glory. The pattern of the Apostle Paul is laid out in Romans through Philemon. It's laid out in the doctrinal information that's been given to us. That's why you can see how Paul identifies himself. We'll go over to Romans chapter number 15. And we're going to see how, and we're going to read two verses which are going to contrast how it is that the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, how he taught some things, and then we're going to contrast it with what the Apostle Paul says about how he taught some things. In Romans chapter 15, verse number 8 says, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." And here the Apostle Paul, speaking about what we have recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was here on planet Earth was to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Everything that he did lined up 100% with the information that had been given to them. Everything that they had in Genesis through Malachi, the Lord Jesus Christ was following. That's why when he talks about he came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill. When he's asked about how someone becomes saved, the very first thing he tells them to do is to keep the commandments. Everything kept going back to the information that they already had, the promises that had been made. That's why he was offering the kingdom unto them, because the kingdom was what the promise was that they were to be looking for. You know, he was not doing anything new in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, the Apostle Paul, if we skip down here to verse number 16, is a contrast here of what the Apostle Paul talks about related to his ministry here. It says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. And here he is talking about what it is that he is doing and identifying it as ministering the gospel of God. That he's a minister to the Gentiles. Now, back in the book of John, the Lord Jesus Christ identifies that salvation is of the Jews. He tells the apostles to go not unto the, you know, to go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The whole ministry of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was confined to Israel, because that's who the promises have been made unto. And the few times that you have Gentiles being dealt with, you see how everything ties back in with how Gentiles were saved by coming into the issue of, you know, placing themselves under the nation of Israel. That's a completely different thing than what you see in verse 16, talking about how it's a whole ministry unto the Gentiles. And when Paul's talking about the Gentiles, he's talking about, you know, identifying it as also being the unsaved members of the nation of Israel. Because after Acts chapter number 7, anyone who is unsaved in the eyes of God was seen as being a Gentile. That's why there's no Jew or Gentile in the body of Christ today, because everyone is on an equal footing. Everyone has that same opportunity to have salvation and has that opportunity to be able to stand fast in the truth that's been given and standing fast in the Lord, which is how the Apostle Paul is identifying that we are to be doing that. And we're going to continue next time. We're going to finish looking at that idea in our next episode. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. In fact, the newest one is being posted today. There's information about how to watch our Sunday services live as they're being broadcast on Facebook right now. And they'll be continue to be broadcast that way until this whole pandemic is over. And then even from then, they will still be broadcast that way for people outside of our area. But you know, those who are live in the Buffalo Niagara region will actually be able to come back together and minister together in that manner. And if you have any questions, comments about anything on our broadcast, anything on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. Until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.